Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Second hour of KJ and Lyons on WEEI. Game 5, Celtics end the series. 4-1, win at 118-84. John, we'll hear from Joe Mazzulla here in about a minute. You know, isn't it kind of shocking? This is why I say Miami wasn't as good. The only game they scored over 100 points was in game 2, and that was 111. 84, 88, 94 are the other games.
They were in the 80s three times.
Right. And like, that's really good if you're watching NBA on NBC and Ahmad Rashad is hosting the pregame.
With the best music.
Yeah, well, it might be coming back. But it just says something about that throughout. Right, you almost have to say, you know, when you take tests and you're like, okay, you know, you usually get an A and then you get this 1D, you throw that test out because it's not reflective of who you are. That's what the Celtics did tonight. They threw out game 2 as its bad test score. And you would almost have to say, hey, were the Celtics that bad or Miami just that good? And Miami was just that good in game 2 that we all knew they would probably never be able to do it again. But not only were they never able to do it again, tonight was their worst showing doing it, shooting 10% from three.
Yeah, and I think when we were on after game 2, right, we talked about how Miami had a historic shooting night that wasn't going to happen again, but we also talked about how poorly the Celtics were defensively. I mean, the Heat had 23 wide-open threes in that game, and how inconsistent the Celtics were offensively. And we said we want to see how they respond, and they responded in really impressive fashion the next three games. And it's funny because in game 2, right, the Celtics scored 101 points. Then in game 3, they scored 104. And in game 4, they scored 102. So they were right in the same neighborhood. But just watching the game, it felt like those points in games 3 and games 4 were so much easier to come by. And things were so much more efficient for them. And it also helped that defensively, they were light years better in game 3 and game 4. And then tonight in game 5, they finished it off. So you look at that game 2 as Miami had an aberration scoring night. The Celtics also played poorly, especially defensively, and the Celtics responded. Like, that's what good teams do. Okay, you have a bad game once in a while, you respond and play really well in the few games after that, and that's what the Celtics did, and that's why they closed this out in 5.
All right, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We'll still hear from Derek White. We'll hear from Jaylen Brown. We'll hear from our guy Justin Turpin live from TD Garden. Let's go to Joe Mazzulla.
Joe, what did you like most about your team's approach here in Game 5?
Just the consistency, physicality. I thought we played with real speed on the offensive end. Very purposeful, getting to our spacing, getting to the right matchup. So I really liked just the intentionality we played with on both ends.
How would you describe the impact of Derek White and what he's meant, not just today and in the previous game, but also generally?
Yeah, you know, he's one of the point guards, and he has the ability to do different things. So at the beginning of the series, they were defending us in different ways, and, you know, we had to work to get him involved. And once they kind of make some adjustments, he can play in pick and roll. He can play spot ups. But he has an impact. He can impact the game in a lot of different ways, offense and defense, whether it's rebounding, whatever it takes. So he's been great for us.
So what does this one mean for you guys, you know, to get it done against a team that beat you last year and the history that, you know, these two teams have and just the competitiveness of the series?
Yeah, I mean, if you spend time, you know, doing that, you know, every single year, I don't really worry about what happened last year. At the end of the day, I like how we approached the series regardless of who we were playing. Had an intentionality to it, had attention to detail, and had a consistent physicality. And that's the most important thing, is having that regardless of who you're playing against. And wake up tomorrow, you got to do it all over again. Versus another team, so it doesn't really matter that what happened then.
What stood out about the way you guys execute offensively? You talked about the spacing, but also just, you know, last game, the small screening, you got to some different stuff it looked like in terms of just, especially Derek being able to, you know, get into his threes and stuff like that.
Yeah, just, again, you know, pace has a lot of different definitions, but we play a little bit faster. Just the ability to sprint, slip, create indecisions, get out and run. I thought, you know, our guys did a good job of dictating the tempo in the last two games. And when you can get out and force cross matches to get guys off your body, it gives the Drew and Derek's and Payton's and Sam's and those guys a little bit, more impact on the game, which is important for us.
Joe, you talked about the bench being one of the keys to the series. What did you think of their effort tonight and just the series as a whole?
It was great. Like I said, there's no difference between the regular season and the playoffs. They played the same way. But those guys bring a different layer on both ends of the floor. So credit to Luke, you know, not playing at the beginning of the series because of an injury and coming back gave us great minutes. It's important that they continue to do that for us. And, you know, every series takes on a life of its own. So there'll be different matchups, different sub-patterns. But their open-mindedness and their ability to play regardless of the circumstances is important.
This first game without Kristaps, Al obviously has stepped into the starting lineup like in half the games this year, but just to see the offensive rebound in the first quarter got hyped up. Like you just mentioned, Luke was awesome. How pleased were you with those guys stepping up with KPO?
Yeah, I mean, Al is kind of sets the temperature for us, you know, with just his ability to impact the game basketball-wise, but like you said, also with his personality and his aggressiveness. So, you know, he set the table for us tonight. He set the tone for us, and everybody followed suit.
Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla. And he said something key, and John, I pulled one of your numbers. I wrote something down as it was going.
There we go, KJ.
I wrote something down. Play faster. And he's exactly right, because if you would say, what team in the NBA, let's beyond the Eastern Conference, what team in the NBA could keep up with the Celtics' pace?
OKC. They play with tremendous pace. I mean,
right, but
Denver,
that would be,
I think
that would be an NBA Finals game, right?
Right,
there,
exactly.
Right?
That's the thing, right? So, like, I think those two teams stand out. I mean, OKC's pace is tremendous, so they would stand out to
You're
me.
You're supposed to say nobody, like,
yeah. Well, nobody
like,
in
like,
the
it's
East.
Like it's like when a girl asks you, like, who's the best looking person you've ever dated, and you're like, you don't sit there and go, oh man, like maybe about 5 years ago there was this girl. Like, no, you're supposed to say like nobody. You, but you, babe. Like, yeah. Look, if you said it's or OKC. I would say yes in an unproven environment, right? OKC has only shown us what they can do against New Orleans without what they are, right? There's no Zion Williams, but there's really no point in New Orleans. I mean, that's what all the jokes that Charles Barkley's making about, like, not even going to Cancun, but send him to dirty Galveston, Texas. That's about how bad New Orleans was playing. Oklahoma City, I think they will probably see some type of test to their speed. Maybe once they go up against the Clippers, if they see them. But in terms of, like, the Celtics, I don't think when the Celtics play at top speed's pace, there's nobody who can hang with them, especially with Brown and Tatum running. If anything, and Brown has approved on this, is that they would try and get Brown to speed up and go left. Remember, right? That was the thing, like, yep. Hey, if he wants to play fast, let's force him left, and maybe we can get a turnover by him going through the middle. He's made those adjustments much better than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, and when I look at playing with pace, too, and I think this is true in basketball and football as well, it's not just you're running up and down the court at full speed every possession. It's you're playing at the pace that you want to play in. So when you want to go fast, the game goes fast. When you want to slow things down, you can slow things down, and the other team has to adapt off you. And I think, like in game two, the Celtics adapted off the Heat, and they lost. The other four games, the Celtics set the tone. They set the pace. When they wanted to move the ball quickly, they did. When they wanted to push it up the court, they did. When they wanted to slow things down, they did. Miami had to react to them. And that's what I think, like, this team, and this is, again, the diversity of their offense. They can do both of those things. I think they're at their best when they're pushing the ball up the court and they're in transition, but they can slow the game down when they want to. They're not quite as good at it, but I think that's what, when I think of playing with pace, I think it's the ability to dictate how the game is being
how
played.
How quick you want to get into your set.
Yeah.
You know, I got to give Joe Mazzulla a lot of credit, because think about it. He had three embarrassing moments just in last year's playoff series, right? First, the Atlanta thing, and they just kind of let things kind of slip, and it goes a little too far, right? Then with Philadelphia, kind of get out-coached and outplayed in situations where you're like, what's going on? And then, of course, how things ended with losing Game 7 to Miami last year. Like, the conversation was like, can this guy really do the job? And, of course, they brought all the reinforcements in. But you would have to say, after this series, and who it's against as well, I think that's a big thing as well, because let's say you're seeing Miami in a second-round matchup. That means this is a little bit better team. This is what happened with them last year. Remember, they knocked off the Bucks last year to start making their run. So if you had another Miami situation going on like that, I would be a little more concerned with the Mazzulla versus Spoelstra matchup. But because it's in the first round, you know, Miami has to play through the play-in game again, but now they've got the Celtics in the first round. I think that helped Joe Mazzulla out, because you can get that stain off of your brain quicker than if you had to wait maybe to a second or maybe even to a semifinal.
Yeah, Jason Tatum said after the game he actually wanted Miami in the first round because he felt the Celtics relaxed against Atlanta in the first round last year, and he knew that wouldn't happen against the Heat. So he wanted the Heat in the first round. I think you're right. It was better for the Celtics that they got in the Heat in the first round, because then you enter the playoffs having to hit the gas, right? Remember last year against Atlanta? Like, they won games one and two, and they just kind of rolled the ball out there and won games one and two. And then they started to mess around. Next thing you know, it's six games. Here, they messed around a little in game two. Boom, they lost, and they didn't for the rest of the series. So I think having a test like Miami early, and again, no Jimmy Butler, no Terry Rozier, but it's still an elite-level head coach. It's a team that is not going to quit. They're not going to give up. Bam's still an all-star. Tyler Hero is still a good shooter. It's still guys that have beaten the Celtics before. I think that was a really good matchup for them, much like 2022 when they got the Nets in the first round and they beat Durant, they beat Kyrie in that first round. I think that was a good thing for them in the long run, much like I think this is.
Well, I think what's different with Miami this year are the role pieces that are not there. There's no Gabe Vincent. There's no
Max Strus,
right? Caleb Martin was not as effective in this series as he was lights out last year. And then if you said, and then, because remember, they didn't have Tyler Hero. So I even think that Tyler Hero may be probably at the last of his wits, maybe with this team after what happened going into this season. So there was just kind of like this different DNA about this team. Sure, the Terry Rozier pickup would help them down the line, but ultimately they were in that chase for Dame Lillard, right? Like, that's all that was talked about. Remember, they were going back and forth about what could and couldn't happen, and Tyler Hero's name was the one dangled, and people were saying it wasn't enough. I just felt like this was the Miami team that just wouldn't have the gas or really the gumption to make it much further. Now, with the Celtics team, I don't want to nitpick. You remember back when the Patriots were winning everything, and you're like, okay, you can't sit here and praise them all day for the
sure
age that
can,
they're
going to.
Well, but
play the Lego
thing.
Movie song, Nico. Everything is awesome.
No, complete. Dude, if we ever play a Disney or kid type song,
everything
I will scream.
Everything is awesome, KJ.
No, like the free throws, you can't shoot 67%.
Okay, yeah, that. No, you're right about that. Yeah,
the turnovers, and I'll give you a little bit of flex leeway because some of your role players got in there towards the end of the game, and they're going to stumble and bumble. But you're a Celtics team that moving forward, you say, okay, how do we keep the turnovers clearly in single digits? If we can keep it under seven, I think that's just the normal course of basketball. But that free throw percentage, considering the guys that you have out there, I mean, you should be shooting no less than 83% from the line.
And another subtle piece of domination for the Celtics in this game, out-rebounded Miami 56-29. They were dominant, and especially considering how many shots Miami missed, they only had two offensive rebounds. Like, Celtics were dominant on the glass, and that's something, like, you play in Orlando in the next round with all the size they have, you're going to have to really work to win on the glass. In Cleveland, maybe not quite so much, but Orlando especially, you're going to have to work to win on the glass. So I thought that was a really encouraging thing that they did so well out-rebounding the Heat. And not just tonight, but I thought they were better than the Heat on the glass all series.
All right, we still have to hear from Jaylen Brown, Derek White. We got our man Justin Turpin out there. Plus, we'll talk about what it looks like moving forward for the Celtics, who are now out of the first round and waiting for the winner between Orlando and Cleveland. It's KJ and Lions, WEEI. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. John, it's time to text. This is late. It's late. It's time to trend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We're about a minute away from my man Justin Turpin out at TD Garden. We'll also hear from Jaylen Brown, Derek White before we get out of here tonight. John, to put it in perspective, last night I was here and what an absolute feeling in my chest over the Bruins. Today, my kid doesn't have the best day at school. So now I'm like really hoping the Celtics pull through for my just for my sanity. And it feels good.
Yep.
I feel like my sanity's back. Last night, I was like, what am I watching, right? What like last? And then it was just like, okay, please don't let that same Bruins energy still linger in TD Garden tonight. and the Celtics do something just unbelievably bad that just would have this whole place just in a just everybody would be tight in the chest if the Celtics didn't clear tonight.
Oh, yeah. It just like tomorrow when the Bruins, if they don't win game six, everyone's going to have that feeling again. So pivotal couple days. You know, the Celtics, I think, you know, alleviated a lot of those feelings tonight. We'll see if the Bruins do it tomorrow.
Yeah, Celtics wrap up the series, win it in five, 118-84. That means, you know, the Gino, they hit Gino time. And our own Gino time guy, Justin Turpin from TD Garden. What you do, what you do, what you do, what you do. Come on, everybody dance. Justin feels good. Have the series over, does it not?
It does. It does. They needed to take care of business in this one, and they sure did.
And Justin,
I love this intro. Great
yeah, song. Yeah, I know. I wanted to kind of let it ride out for a minute. I didn't even want to ask you any questions. But Justin,
it's fantastic.
You were there tonight at TD Garden. Just give us a taste of the advice. You know, it's not just closing out the series. It's Mike Gorman's last game as well. Give us a little taste of what the environment was like for someone in there.
Yeah, this place was rocking from the start. And it's funny, Joe Mazzulla said pregame that he wanted his team to be desperate. And 3 minutes in, Drew Holiday saves an offensive rebound, throws it in over his head one-handed, and Jaylen Brown goes up, snags it, puts it in for a layup, and this place just erupted at that. And, I mean, the atmosphere was just great all night. I mean, they were chanting the whole night, and this was really, really felt like everyone in the building wanted this win.
Okay, so I was going to ask, did it feel like the fan base just felt a sense of relief considering what had just happened in the same place last night?
I think the fan base definitely felt that, like, all right, this is kind of some sort of revenge, and people felt good about having that, and especially, well, that's more for the Celtics side, but given what happened last night, yeah, I think I got a lot of mentions in my DMs and whatnot. They're like, oh, look, they're the big brother of the Celtics. They can actually get it done, or the big brother of the Bruins. They can actually get it done. So, yeah, there was certainly some sort of relief, but, yeah, it is in terms of the Bruins. Like, I mean, people have been craving for just some success in this building in the postseason, so they got it tonight.
Justin, what's been your assessment so far of Jason Tatum in the postseason? I mean, he hasn't had the high point totals, but he's had double-digit rebounds multiple times. He's impacted the game in other ways. What has been your assessment of him?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the box score tonight, he was a plus 35 and only put up 16 points. He's really affecting the game in different ways. And I think all season long, that's been a strength of his, not necessarily being defined as just a scorer, right? He's been able to impact the game in other ways, whether that be his defense, his ball movement, his rebounding. I thought rebounding-wise, he was terrific this series. I think that he was arguably the best rebounder on the court throughout this whole series. So I think that shows a growth for him and shows some maturity, the fact that he's not just defined by scoring. Like last year, you know, if they were to lose this game, I think people kind of look at this box score and see, oh, Tatum goes 4 of 9, only 16 points. Like, you kind of get a little bit on him. But, like, he's matured so much in the sense that he just doesn't get defined strictly by one thing. And I think that's a big testament to him.
You know, we're talking to Justin Turpin here, part of our staff here at WEEI, lead writer for the Celtics for the site, and is at TD Garden after game five. Look, the kind of part of the conversation, and I think kind of the Debbie Downer portion of the conversation going into tonight's game was, is the Celtics team going to look very basic without Kristaps Porzingis? Because remember, Porzingis had no game in game two, so now you have no Porzingis at all. Are you confident with Cornette and maybe some Tillman into this next series where you're going to see a lot more size?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it tonight, I think, like you said, like, Bam was really the only one size they were really seeing tonight. But when you look at it, like, they've given you every reason to believe in them. Like, Cornette has succeeded in his role. And the reality is he doesn't have to be the superstar. All he has to be is serviceable. Like, that's the luxury of this team. When you look around, they're just so talented. Like, he doesn't need to be the standout player every night. He just needs to do his job. And I get it when you're looking at the playoffs, you know, you have a third center in there. There's kind of some hesitation. But the reality is Luke Cornette has proven that he can provide valuable minutes. And he did so tonight on a postseason stage. And I thought he did a great job against Bam Adebayo. He also does the little things, like things that kind of go unnoticed, whether that be his screening or spacing. Like, he's a really complete player. And I think he's overlooked a lot because of his goofy celebrations and whatnot. But I mean, this guy can play, and he's given you every reason to believe in him. So looking forward, like you mentioned, the size and the length, no matter who they play, whether it's Cleveland or Orlando, both teams possess those traits, but Luke's shown that he can compete with the best of them. So I'm confident moving forward.
Terp, I want to get your thoughts on a discussion we had earlier. When we look at this series, Celtics dominated four out of the five games. The only game they didn't was game two. Do you look at game two as an aberration in that Miami just shot, you know, a franchise record from the three-point line? Or do you think the Celtics had a bad night and they responded really well after?
I think it more look at it as an aberration. Like, if you look at it, they had 23 threes in game two. They made 21 the rest of the series. I mean, that's an anomaly, right? Like,
that's nuts.
That's going to happen.
That's nuts, isn't it? That's a great stat.
21 the rest of the series. They made 23 in game two. I mean, it's just nuts. And that's going to happen. Like, teams are going to have rough shooting nights. And to that point, though, you look at, like, game two, like, Kristaps Porzingis, one of your best players, was kind of a non-factor. Drew Holiday struggled. Other than Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in game two, you really didn't get much production. And I think beyond, like, pairing that with the fact that they knocked down 23 three-pointers, is it really going to happen that often? I don't think so. And, you know, the Celtics, one of their best traits is how they control the perimeter. And it's been kind of Joe Mazzulla's thing where they always, for the most part, outscore their opponents on the perimeter. And when they make more threes, they're going to win. And most of the time, that's going to happen. So I think it's like looking at game two is just an anomaly. And it's funny looking back at all the kind of the panic there. It's like, I think going to the series, people knew that Miami was going to sneak one out. We joke about it all the time with their black magic or their voodoo, whatever they have. Everyone knew they were going to steal one. And in the fashion that it happened, it kind of fitting to what everyone thought it was going to ensue. So, I mean, looking at it, I just look at that as nothing more of an anomaly.
We were talking, Justin, earlier about how Joe Mazzulla probably wanted to see Miami sooner if he had to see them again to kind of exercise the demons from last year. And I go back to game two where it seemed like at the post-game press conference, Joe Mazzulla seemed to be kind of a bit of erratic. John, if you probably remember, he's like, you know, we weren't switching up, speed it up. But tonight he's saying it a little bit slower that we were able to speed it up. Do you feel like Joe Mazzulla is now comfortable in his skin going forward in the playoffs now that he's gotten Spoelstra off of his back?
Honestly, I think he's been comfortable all year. I think the one, like that one offseason that he had this year to just kind of regroup, he had a year under his belt. And look at, like, last year, the circumstances in which he took over. Like, you take over for Ime Udoka a week before training camp opens. You're taking over a depleted staff, like, because Will Hardy took the Utah job. And by the time you get to the playoffs, your top guy in Damon Stoudemire is gone to Georgia Tech. So you look at it, he was put under some immense pressure last year, and I thought he handled it admirably. Like, the fact that they went down 3-0 and forced a game seven shouldn't be discredited. I mean, obviously in Boston, all we care about is winning, and that's what we should care about. Like, that's why you play the game. But what he did last year shouldn't be overlooked. And I think he had a year this year to kind of get used to things and kind of, you know, install his own philosophy. And it's worked wonders for the Celtics where, you know, all year long, it's kind of, I go back to like the Mazzulla from day one, preaching the fact of this mindset, like having the right mindset every game. And the Celtics have stuck with that, and it's resulted in one hell of a season for them. So I think Joe Mazzulla entering the year was just more confident in his skin, more confident in his role, and the Celtics have been better off because of it. And I think now you got to get over those demons of the past. I think that certainly helps to it, though Joe will never admit to it. But Jason Tatum was just talking about it post-game where, you know, he wanted to see them, and he wanted to see Miami, and it raises their alertness right away. So this was the best possible outcome for the Celtics, and, you know, credit to Joe Mazzulla for what he's done this year.
So one player, Terp, that's really had to step up in the absence of Kristaps Porzingis is Al Horford. He had 34 minutes a couple nights ago. Didn't play as much tonight, but he did start. Do you think that he can continue this going forward? Because likely that Porzingis is going to be out a couple weeks. I know they have a layoff between now and the start of round two, but do you have any concerns about him breaking down a little bit about his age, or you think they have him in a spot where he's going to be able to continue this pretty well?
I think they have him in a spot that he's going to be able to continue for this pretty well. And you look at it, 22 minutes tonight. Like, that's the sweet spot. Like, that is incredible that you're able to keep him that low. And obviously, you know, you're not going to have 30-point leads this early in games. You're not going to be able to have this luxury in every game. But the way they staggered Al Horford this year, just like we talked about how they managed Kristaps Porzingis all year, kind of letting him take game, rest games, not playing back-to-backs. They did the same thing with Al Horford, and naturally coming off the bench, take some tax off your body. So I think he's ready to go. I mean, he talked about it after game three in Miami where he said, you know, if he would have played the back-to-back if he could have. And this is a physical series, but, you know, if you're looking at it 22 minutes tonight and you're going to have at least until Sunday off, so you're going to get a couple more days in between. And the reality is it seems like you're kind of only looking at next series for Kristaps Porzingis, and you welcome him back for the Eastern Conference Final, and then Al will kind of see a lesser role again. So I think he can give you his all. And, you know, he's another guy, no matter what he's been, no matter what role he's been tasked with or no matter what the circumstances have been, he's stepped up. So I think looking at tonight, like to the point of Cornette earlier and Al right now, I mean, those two were the big winners tonight. I mean, what they were able to do just to kind of alleviate all that stress that people felt and, you know, that thinking the Celtics didn't have enough with Kristaps down, like these guys showed that they can compete. And I think we're in a good spot. The Celtics are in a good spot moving forward.
Yeah, Miami, the Heat, they shut down 118-84, win the series at five. Hit it, Nico! Oh, Turpin, come on. You should be dancing. The series is Jado time. Come on, we're all dancing.
Oh, I love it. They actually played this right after Gorman. They gave Gorman a little curtain call, and they played this. It was just a perfect, perfect scenario.
Justin Turpin, I'm dancing while saying thank you for being on here and trying to keep the beat and my velour suit all tight. Lions is jealous. I got the velour suit.
Turp, yeah, I wish we had the Twitch on so I can see it.
Yeah, please. No. I mean, it's a bit late. I don't really dress for work at this time of night. Turpin, thank you so much. We look forward to talking to you into next series. We appreciate all you do, and thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Yeah, it's always good when you play Geno time, isn't it, John?
Always good.
I almost wore Sergio Valente's here tonight. Those are the jeans that Geno has on dancing on the video with the Geno shirt on. I think the Geno actually represents a brand of shirt or jean at the time. I can't remember the name of it.
Thought it was the guy's name that was dancing.
No, well, that's what everybody thinks it is, but the Geno shirt is actually to some brand of something. Oh, it might be Gino Vannelli dancing in the video, and that's a real guy named Gino. Look, hats off. I think we said this earlier. We believe that Derek White is probably the MVP of this series. I don't think the team really cares about that because the focus is this isn't the mission. This is part of it.
Yeah, I would go Derek White MVP in this series. I think Jason Tatum was also highly impactful, and I think – granted, it was only two games, but Al Horford's impact I don't think can be understated either. So, I mean, again, much like Game 5, I think this series win was the Celtics were the better team, but they worked well together. They fit well together, and it was a team effort to dominate the Heat in 4 out of 5 games.
I also think that when Derek White set the tone in Game 3, that there was no looking back for the Celtics. You almost forget that Game 2 happened, because the Celtics went ahead and won 3 straight. Here's Derek White post-game tonight after the win against the Heat.
Derek, was there any added satisfaction in closing these guys out? 5 games, a team that you have had a rivalry with last year's, obviously, disappointment. So a little extra juice to closing this particular team out in this manner?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, we just had such, like, great battles against them. And I think in the past that, like, we've had opportunities to close them out, especially on the home court, and have failed. And so being able to close them out here tonight and do it the way we did it is definitely big.
And what goes into being able to just come out right away and open up that big lead early and just maintain it throughout this whole game?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about we wanted to throw the first punch, and I think we did that pretty much for the whole series. And so just being aggressive early and then just having that pace and everything that we talked about the whole season, and we were able to do a good job with that.
Derek, you broke out a few new celebrations the past few games, the pocket three, you know, getting hyped by the bench. And at the same time, last game, after those dunks you had, it looked like you were getting a little frustrated with the refs. You're getting amped up. Like, what's the balance in, especially in the playoffs, of having fun but also playing with that intensity? And how important is that balance?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, for me personally, I mean, I think that's when I'm at my best, is when I'm having fun out there and just having fun with my teammates, whatever it might be, whether I'm supporting them or they're supporting me, like it means everything to me. So, I don't know, just out there having fun, messing around, but also realizing that like this is a big moment and we're all locked in too.
Derek, how much with this win to kind of set the tone for what you guys are trying to accomplish here. But the way you did it and with this group of guys, how pleased were you with what you saw from start to finish in this series?
Yeah, he's big. I mean, we got past the first round, and that's the first step. And so we understand what the bigger picture is and what's ahead of us. And so it doesn't get any easier. We don't start the next series up 1-0 because we did what we did today. And so we're just going to have to move on and reset.
Derek, a big theme this year has been growth as a group. And how did you guys go about growing in terms of your response from game two and what you're able to do 3, 4, and 5 and the type of effort you pushed forward in those games?
Yeah, I think we've been doing this just all year. We've had games where you might seem like it was a big loss or something, but we just bounce back, regroup, and everybody's just been on the same page this whole season. So it's the playoffs. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. That's what makes it amazing. That's what makes it fun. And so you just got to be ready to not get too high on those wins and not get too low on the losses and just keep improving and doing what we need to do.
You know, John, who Derek White reminds me of a lot in spirit is Dennis Johnson.
Okay, that's a good comparison. Really impactful guy who never gets the full credit he deserves, but is hugely important.
Maybe the only difference is that Dennis Johnson, and this is kind of a little bit of basketball history, he was in Seattle, he was on that team that won a championship, but came over and was the piece that was missing in the backcourt. Different with Derek White, where he was coming from a place of consistent losing, you know? But he's the one connective piece that's to MA that got him here and became even more valuable. Remember the conversation when Derek White got here? It was kind of like, okay, he can provide additional defense off the bench and can fill in the gaps with some scoring, though you won't expect too much scoring from him. You now almost feel like you get more proficient scoring from him than you got from Marcus Smart and better decision-making when taking those shots. You never feel like Derek White is taking the shots out of Tatum and Brown's hands. That's why you talk to him in a postgame, and it's usually about like things that he's done right versus in the past where it's kind of like, well, Marcus, what did you see out there? So I don't want to put this isn't, like you said earlier, this isn't to slam Marcus Smart or anything like that, but the energy shifted, as Jaylen Brown would say.
Yeah, and I think the two best things about the Marcus Smart trade was, A, you got Kristaps Porzingis, but B, you got increased minutes for Derek White. I mean, the signature moment of last year was Derek White's tip-in in Game 6 down in Miami. If Malcolm Brogdon wasn't injured, he might have not even been on the court in that sequence. Now he's... You could make the case, KJ, that Derek White, not only is he obviously a top four player on this team, there's nights he's the second best player on this team, and he's also making a real argument for being the most clutch player on this team. I mean, he had the best clutch offensive rating on the Celtics this year at 128.3, I think it was, but he's had other clutch moments too, not just those last 5 minute moments. Like, even after Porzingis gets hurt the other night, like, I know it was early in the game, but you're in Miami, you're on the road, your signature offseason acquisition who you think's going to help you win a championship has what looks like a scary injury. They could have turtled, and they could have lost that game, and they could have felt sorry for themselves. Derek White responds with 38 points in a blowout win, and they didn't have any clutch time minutes, but to me, responding from that injury and scoring 38 points, that was a clutch moment, because that was a moment that could have gone the other way. And when you look at the box score, you don't think that, but in the moment, I mean, you know how we all felt when we saw Porzingis hobble off the floor. We thought he was going to be done, and the Celtics.
Why did this happen in November, right?
Right, exactly. So I think, like, again, that's a clutch moment that Derek White was huge, not to mention his. So he's really grown into this essential piece for the Celtics, and it's been great to see.
Yeah, it's interesting when you're a team with two superstars, there's usually a third person that those two superstars have to trust. And let me not even use Jordan and Pippen and how they would use Paxton and Hanson and that. Like, let's just even look at Golden State, right? Like, if you say you got Klay and you've got Steph, they would trust Draymond Green to hit an open three if he needed to. They would trust him to be open in a corner. Even if you look at like San Antonio with Bruce Bowen, right, where hey, this guy's in the corner. Duncan trusts him. Manu Ginobili trusts him. So that, I think this is what the real secret sauce is with the Celtics this year from the previous years past, is do the two superstars trust a third guy to to get it done without getting in the way of what they're doing, and you have that in Derek White.
Yeah, and I think they do. I think they've shown throughout the course of this year and the course of this playoff series that they do, and I think they're better off for it. I think you're right. You know, you need to have the stars to win, but you need to have that other supporting piece or two that the stars trust, and not just trust, but complement the stars really well. And that's what Derek White has grown into.
All right, we'll still hear from Jaylen Brown. Plus, we'll wrap up the show here. KJ and Lyons, special edition, Game 5. Celtics send Miami back home with those ugly white shirts. It's WEEI. Good evening to you.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth. And if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optima's tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-354-2840. 800-354-2840. 800-354-2840.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes. I even got shot. But I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jaylen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jaylen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Hey, it's Jones for ESPN Bet. Every shot, every goal, ESPN Bet has fans covered for the biggest moments on the road to the championship. The exclusive sportsbook of ESPN is the only place to find special offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities throughout the playoffs. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Hope is here. Call 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline ma.org. Got to be 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
It's been said that when someone you love has Parkinson's, you have Parkinson's. The Parkinson's Foundation knows that the disease doesn't just affect the diagnosed. It affects everyone who supports and helps care for them.
If you or someone you know is living with Parkinson's, a neurological disease that affects movement, we understand that it can be difficult to know where to find help.
If you have questions, the Parkinson's Foundation has answers. Answers for everyone in the fight.
We can help you understand the disease.
Help you find expert care and local support.
Give you tips for living a better life.
And share the latest research.
find your answers and join us in the fight against Parkinson's.
To learn more, please go to parkinson.org.
Or call 1-800-473-4636.
That's 1-800-473-4636. The Parkinson's Foundation. Better lives together.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Jalen, looking back at how it ended last year, right, you owned your struggles, but this year you came out so aggressive. Just what led into that?
Just mentally, you know, work, trusting the work, just coming out, you know, owning it. Obviously, last year, probably had one of my worst series in the playoffs just in general, and that just has carried on from there. But, you know, facing them in the first round this year, I still think I could have played a lot better, you know, a lot more relaxed. Maybe put a little bit more attention on myself than I needed to, but, you know, still we came out and was able to find ways to be aggressive and help my team win. So, mashallah, it's full circle. Now we're just looking forward to the next.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, thank you so much for hanging out with us this time of night. Game 5, Celtics blow it out, win 3 straight, win the series 4-1. And John, good on Jaylen Brown. Remember last year how he struggled in Miami, forced him to his left, and all turnovers?
I remember.
Right. And like, so this is what's really good for several layers and several cast members to get this back against the Heat. Like, I can care less if Jimmy Butler isn't there. It doesn't make it any less sweet. But you look at Jaylen Brown, you're like, okay, the turnovers were way down than what they were last season at this point in the series against them. And a lot more consistent with his shot. Free throws, got to work on those. But everything else, you know, you'd have to say solid, where his name isn't going to be screamed as loud as it was screamed, especially, remember, because his contract, his kicker was about to kick in. Ah, you're going to pay him all that. Where, you know, like now, like guys are getting the job done. And good on Jaylen Brown that he's able to exercise a bit of that demon from last year against Miami.
Yeah, whenever you have the word super in front of your contract, there's going to be some extra scrutiny there, right? And another thing for Jaylen Brown, he only made 2 threes in the last 3 games of this series. I think he was, 2-for-14 from 3? Mm-hmm. And so he's got to, you know, get back on track with 3. But I think of everybody in the Celtics organization, he benefits the most from getting past the Heat now, right? Because that was a team that gave him so much trouble last year. It was our last memory of him before he signed that Supermax, was how bad he played, not just in that series, but in Game 7 when Tatum rolls his ankle and you really need JB to step up, and he just plays awful for the majority of that game. So I think for him, like, because I know you asked Terp about Joe Mazzulla earlier, and I think it's important for him, but I think for Jaylen Brown, of all the people in the Celtics organization, he benefits the most from getting past the Heat. Because not only is he past their physical style, but this is the memory attached to him specifically of those struggles. And he talked about it in his post game. I think it's a great thing for him to bounce back. And he mentioned that word relaxed. I think he's going to play a little bit more relaxed in round 2. And we're going to see an even better Jaylen Brown in round 2 than we saw even most of the season.
Okay, so the Magic and Cavs, they play Friday night. Cavs lead that series 3-2. It's back in Orlando for game 6. You know, they're both so evenly matched. Obviously, that's why we're looking at a 3-2 series. Is there a team that concerns you a little bit more for the Celtics than the other?
Yeah, and by the way, the home team so far has won all 5 games in that series.
I haven't watched the single dribble in that
so
game.
It's funny. I'm a little bit, and I know the Cavs have Donovan Mitchell, which is the big star power name, but I would be a little bit more concerned about Orlando. I think they would give a better test, and I think with Orlando, it's 2 reasons. First of all, they don't have any fear of the Celtics at all, right? They beat them a couple times last season. This year, arguably the Celtics' worst loss of the season was on Black Friday when they went down to Orlando and got smoked by the Magic. So I think the Magic are a team that's not going to be afraid of them. And also, they just have so much size. I mean, Banchero, 6'10", 250. Franz Wagner is 6'10", 220, and he's playing the three. I mean, Wendell Carter is a thick guy. Like, Wendell Carter, I think he's only 6'10", but he's like 270. Like, they have real size and muscle everywhere, and especially with Porzingis out, I think that's – and again, I still think the Celtics will win that series, but I think that would give them a tougher challenge and a more physical challenge than if they played against the Cavs.
See, I'm on the other side. I think the Cavs are the team I would be a little more scared of because – you have a bona fide superstar in the backcourt, right? Like, you would ask, in the Orlando Magic's, in the Orlando Cavs series, who's most likely to drop 40 points?
Donovan Mitchell.
There you go. And so, plus, he's also got size behind him. Even if you look at the teams and how things played out in the East, right? The Knicks were a surging team, and do you really believe they're the second-best team in the East? The Bucks fell. They're the third team in the East, and they made their game away from elimination. So really, the only teams that have been consistent at where they are pretty much the whole season have been the Celtics, the Cavs, and the Magic. So this is why I'm a bit concerned about the size. We'll see how it plays out. I think the Celtics are less concerned about the Magic. If I was to put things, all things considered, obviously they would seem as equal. All things considered, I would think that the Magic would be overwhelmed playing the Celtics versus the Cavaliers, who, you know, made a decent push last year and possibly learned from that to make a push this year. I think it's the Cavs that win the series, and I think it goes six games with the Celtics.
Yeah, and I just hope this Cavs Magic series goes seven so the Celtics get a little extra time.
Go
off.
Nine games if
yeah,
you
go
need.
Nine.
If you missed any of the show, the Odyssey app is free. You can reach John Lyons at The Real John Lyons, no H in John, at KJ Carson, and also at WEEI. Thank you so much for being here. Go Celtics. B's got to get it tomorrow. John, you're here tomorrow night for the B's postgame.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Right?
Hopefully we'll be talking about another series that's over.
Enjoy it. My kid will have a good day at school tomorrow. Thank you so much for being here for KJ and Lyons. Have a great Wednesday night. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.